6 years, his mother passed away. John was left with his dad. His dad was a seafaring man, sailed the Mediterranean. And at the age of 11, his dad decided to start taking him with him as a sailor on the ships. John fell in with the wrong crowd, which is easy to do on the ships among the sailors, and he began to sink low in sin and debauchery, vile, wicked living at a very early age. He became so stiff-necked, rebellious, that his own father disowned him, forsook him to himself. Bitter and hardened, John, now a young man, began to get involved in slave trading, selling slaves and trading them to England. His debauchery and sin continued. His lifestyle became very low, rank, wicked, and heinous, until he became so irresponsible with his money and with his time that he became a slave, one who used to sell slaves. He became a slave among the slaves. One day on a ship, as he was being transported, a great storm came on the waters in which they were sailing. A wave came and dashed against the boat and knocked John from the boat, knocked him overboard. This is a true story. As John was plunging in the depths of the sea, he began to think about some things that some of the people had told him when they were landside just a short couple of months earlier, about Christ and his goodness and forgiveness. But he refused to go any further there in his mind, and no sooner than he had rejected to go in that place in his mind, a wave came and literally picked him up and threw him back on the board of that ship. As he came crashing into the board of the ship, on the port side of the ship, he lay there, drenched, stunned, could not believe the events that had just taken place. And as he looked up into the heavens, as the rain came down, he began to think again about the witnesses that he had received about the goodness of God, and how that God would forgive even a sinner such as he. And laying there upon the deck of that ship, John Newton received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. At the age of 39, John Newton was called to the gospel preaching ministry. I learned some things when I began to research Mr. Newton. I knew that he had written a hymn that is very famous and popular and that has spoken to the hearts of many that champion the grace of God. What I found out about this man is that he had a burning fire in his bosom to tell others about what God had done in his life, because he had experienced what everybody that's sitting on the sound of my voice has experienced as he penned it in song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton lived the remainder of his days for the Lord Jesus. And when he come to the close of his life, because sin had so affected his mind, he began to lose capacity of memory and thought. And he called those to his bedside that was around him, and he said, "I have forgotten many things in my life, but two things I remember well: that I am a great sinner, and that Jesus Christ is a great Savior." Amen. Oh, what a Savior. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the grace of God. We wouldn't be here this morning if it were not for the grace of God. Amen. We may as well just shut the doors of the church. Right. We would have no ministry if it were not for the grace of God. Not biblical ministry. Be no good to meet here. We would have no hope. Oh, we could tell people that there's a God in heaven and that God is holy and that God is perfect and that He has a standard and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and the wages of sin is death. But if we could not say the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord because of His grace, be no need to even preach a message. Who would want to preach a message to tell people that they're doomed and there's nothing they can do about it? We may as well close our Bibles if there's no grace. I have no message to preach. Our churches may as well close. We have no ministry. See, grace is the principal thing. Grace is what connects God to man and man to God. It's grace. You say, well, not preacher, it's love. Well, the songwriter got it right at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. You see, God could love us, and He does. And God could look down and say, I love you, but without His grace to bring the plan of redemption, without His grace to extend that love, all we would know is that God loves us. I'm glad for the grace of God. You know, grace is probably one of the most understood words and doctrines in all the Scripture. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, I think that the American way of life has helped to contribute to that. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I wrote down just a few things as I was sitting this week thinking about grace. I thought about this, and I want you to think about it with me. I want you to finish just some of these things that I've written out. Okay? If it sounds too good to be true, it isn't. Yeah. Or it is. Now you're right. It is. Thank you, Stacy. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. We make our money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Well, that's kind of hard to say today. We get it sent to us in stimulus checks. Nothing in life is free. What a lie. I'm talking about grace. See, we think, well, everything we get, we have to earn. What I'm going to talk to you about this morning, you'll never earn. Amen. You'll never earn it. You certainly don't deserve it. You don't have enough money to buy it. There's not enough goodness in us to obtain it. The Bible says here, look at it again in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, not the goodness of man, not the form of religion, not the waters of baptism, not church membership, none of this could save us. It's the grace of God that brings salvation, brethren. Oh, would to God that we could get a hold of this morning. We have been so fed the lie that everything you get in life, you have to earn it, you have to gain it, you have to deserve it. We've even been told, you know, God helps those who helps themselves. I'm glad God helped me when I couldn't help myself. How could a dead man help himself? We were dead in trespasses and sin. And the grace of God brought salvation, and the light of God woke us from the depths of deadness and brought us to the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for His grace. Amen. Grace. And yet we live in a society that has this mindset, I've got to do something. I can't tell you the people that I've talked to over these 35 plus years of ministry. When you tell them God's way, not the preacher's way, not the church's way, not the Baptist way. When you tell them God's way of salvation, they say, okay, now what? What else? What do I have to do? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what you must do. See, we want to spell salvation, grace, D-O-N-T. I better put an apostrophe there, or you'll be saying don't. We think it's the things we don't do, right? I can't tell you people, and I did it myself. No one taught me this. No one told me this. I just assumed I've got to do better. I've got to quit doing this, and I must quit doing that. I need to quit this, and I need to quit that, and I need to abstain from this. And if I could just give this up, then maybe God will accept me into heaven. There's no one ever gotten to heaven by giving up something. I say there's no one ever gotten to heaven by what they didn't do. You don't go to heaven by stop doing things. You can't stop. You're a slave to sin. Sin has dominion over you. Salvation is not spelled D-O-N apostrophe T. It's not spelled D-O. Do. Well, if I could just do better, if I could just do good things, if I could just help poor people, and listen, thank God for those who help the poor. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about just things that ought to be done. I'm talking about how to be saved. How to appropriate the grace of God in your life. How to get to heaven. How to have a relationship with God. He said here in verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. You can't earn it. You can't stop doing things and gain it. You can't start doing things and merit it. It's not D-O-N apostrophe T. It's not D-O. Brethren, salvation is D-O-N-E. That's the proper way to spell salvation. It's been done. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. I'm glad he didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. Jesus purchased eternal redemption for all of us. By the way, notice what the author Paul, the apostle said here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Can I tell you that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice this morning and you're not saved, and you're wondering, am I a candidate to be saved? Does God want to save me? Right here's the answer to your question. God will bring salvation to you. He has brought it to you in the form of this message this morning. God wants to save you. God wants to forgive your sin. God wants you by faith to receive His grace. Grace. There's three key words in all the Bible. And I want you to write them down. They're very familiar words, and it's words that people just get mixed up. Justice. We hear a lot of people today talking about injustice and justice, and I want justice, and we want justice. Let me tell you something. You really don't want justice. See, justice is God giving you what you deserve. I don't want that. Amen. I don't want God to give me what I deserve. If all of us, listen, if any of us got what we deserve, we'd all go to hell. You understand that. You say, oh, now, preacher, I'm better than that. Oh, no, you're not. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark, brethren. We've missed the mark. Justice is a very key, it's a very important word to understand in God's relation to man. Justice is God-given you, God given me, God given us what we deserve. And then there's mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad that God hath not dealt with us after our sins? Amen. Mercy is God not giving us. It's withholding. It's God not giving what we deserve because of our sinful condition. Thank God for the mercy of God. Amen. So there's justice. Justice is God giving what we do deserve. Mercy is God not giving what we deserve. But grace is God giving amen, what we don't deserve. See, there's differences in those words, and sometimes people get them all, you know. See, grace is God looking on you and me, and he's showing us favor, and he said, you don't deserve this, but I'm giving this to you. Now watch this, as a gift. Salvation is a gift. It would be an offense to you if you gave a gift to someone and they wanted to work it off. Yet there's something in us that when we're given something, we feel like, now I have to do something. I'm not the only one that way, am I? You know, you're given something, you say, well, now I need to do something. You've given me something, now I need to give you something. Listen, that's not a gift. You don't work off a gift. A gift is just received with thanksgiving. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. God offers us a gift. Jesus told the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4, he said, if thou knewest the gift of God. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't mix grace and works. Please hear me. Grace. This word grace is very important. And so when we look at this scripture here in verse number 11, we see that grace is unconditional. It's something that God does. And he says, there's no strings attached. I want to give you eternal redemption. I want to give you eternal salvation. No strings attached. It's a gift. It's grace. If it were anything other than that, none of us would be saved. I hope you understand that this morning. It's the free gift of salvation. Bless the name of the God of heaven for giving us this free gift. There are folks that are sitting under the sound of my voice, I believe, in this sanctuary, if not watching by way of live stream, that have never received this free gift because you think you're not good enough. Or you're too bad of a sinner. Or you must change your ways and then God will receive you. That's not the Bible way to be saved. Notice again what the scripture says. This is the word of God. This is not just a series of writings. This is the word of God. And it says in verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Grace brings salvation. God's offering that to you today. If you're watching by way of live stream, if you're sitting here and you've never been saved in the good grace of God, God wants you to receive His grace today. God wants to save you. He wants to set you free from the bondage of sin. He wants to enter into a relationship with you. He wants to give you purpose and give you pardon and allow you to know what it is to walk with your Maker. God wants to do that for you. I fear that from our pulpits and from our witness, if we're not careful, we have so entangled, we have so muddied, we have so fuzzed up and just made the free gift of salvation so complicated when it truly just comes down to you're a sinner, God loves you, He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. His Son Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. 3 days later, He resurrected from the grave. If you will repent of your sin and you will trust Christ, if you will say, God, I am willing to live for you. I believe your record that you gave of your Son. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe He was buried and I believe He rose again. I accept your free gift of salvation. I accept your grace by faith. Come into my life and save me. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You say, well, preacher, that's great. Is that all? that's just the beginning, because that's not where it ends. See, this is dealing with sin's penalty. Look at what it says in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Anyone can be saved. I'm glad I could preach that message. I'm glad I don't have to stand up here and start dividing people by financial bracket or race or territory. Or listen, that's not the gospel. The gospel is whosoever will, let him come. I'm glad I can preach that from the Word of God. Amen. That's the grace of God. Saying, now, preacher, I'm pretty rotten. Old sinner. Yeah, I know. All sinners are pretty rotten. Amen. See, you're at a good place to get saved. If you're sitting there this morning or you're listening this morning, you're saying, I'm a pretty good person. I would consider that, but I don't know if I need it or not. I'm a pretty good old boy. I'm a pretty good old gal. I don't know that I need that. You're not ready to be saved until you get to the place of where you realize your sin has offended a holy God, and that God is angry at the sinner every day, and that God in His wrath will pour out His wrath. The wrath of God will abide on a man that has not trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And the wrath of God will abide and abide and abide and abide forever and ever in a place called hell, until you realize that if you die in your sin and go to hell, if you don't trust Christ and you don't come to Him crying out for mercy and asking God to show His grace to you, you'll never be saved in the grace of God. You've got to realize you're a sinner before you ever get saved. See, I believe this is the problem with a lot of folks. A lot of folks think, well, you know what, I'm not that bad, but I guess I'll join the church. That's not going to get you to heaven. Well, I'm not that bad, but I'm thinking about making some changes in my life, so I guess I'll get baptized and go to church every now and then. Listen, that's not going to get you saved. That's not going to get you into heaven. That's not going to get you in a relationship with God. The Bible says you must be born again. Grace. Grace. Say, preacher, I don't have to clean up a little bit and change some things? Not before you get saved. See, God will receive you. Now, listen carefully. I'm talking to you this morning about grace. God will receive you just as you are. Aren't you glad of that? I'm so thankful when that gentleman showed me how to get saved. He didn't say, now, son, I'm going to give you a week to 10 days to clean it up. If you can clean it up in a week to 10 days, come see me and I'll pray with you and you can get saved. It would have never happened, I can tell you that. I'm glad that I was given the pure truth from the Word of God, that if thou shalt, confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart the Lord Jesus, and that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called on Jesus that night realizing I was a sinner. I had no idea what I was getting into. I just knew that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And brethren, here I stand before you some 40 years later, and I got to tell you, I got into something. I say it all the time and it's just so true. I got into something big. This is big. Say, preacher, I want to be part of something big. You get saved and you're a part of something big. You're in God's business. God's business is big. This is a worldwide enterprise. It's an everlasting business, the business of God. I thank God for it. The grace of God. See, God loves you so much, He will accept you just as you are. But now watch this. We're getting ready to change gears here. But He also loves you so much that He's not going to leave you as you are. See, God will never tell you to clean yourself up and then come and get saved. Notice the order here. Watch it now. Verse 11 is before verse 12. You say, well, that's good math, preacher. You had a little problem with your spelling. You got your math down. It says here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. You get saved. Now watch what else grace does. It not only reaches us, it teaches us. Teaching us. You mean grace teaches? Absolutely. See, I got to tell you, I talk to people all the time. They say, well, you know, you're one of them grace preachers. You preach it, you get saved and by grace without works, and you get saved by not doing the law. And you teach that you can get saved and you're saved forever. I preach the Bible is what I preach. Eternal life. So you mean to tell me that you can get saved and just live any old way you want? Hey, when you get saved, you won't live like you want. You'll live like you ought. Amen. Amen. Notice what it said here. Teaching us. See, the grace of God is not a license to live like you want to. It's liberty to live like you ought to.
Amen.
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 He said, teaching us. Now, don't miss this. That first verse in verse number 11, it dealt with the penalty of sin. I'm glad that when I got saved, the penalty of sin is taken care of. But now we're going to talk about the power of sin. See, God didn't tell me to clean myself up and then get saved. He said, you get saved and I'll clean your life up. And can I tell you, that's exactly what God has done.
Amen.
I do not stand before you perfect. But don't you think that. Because you don't sit before me perfect. We're all a project. God's still working on all of us. Amen?
Amen.
God's still working on all of us. You're not a finished product yet. You say, I'm finished. Now, when you get finished, God take you on to heaven. That's right. What does the grace of God teach us? Well, it teaches us, number one, look at it if you would. It teaches us that we've got to deny some things. It teaches us, look at verse number 12. It teaches us that we have to leave this sinful lifestyle. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. See, we're living in a time when nothing's wrong, if you ask the average man on the street. But I'm not really concerned about what the average man on the street's word is. I'm concerned about what this book says. And this book says when you get saved in the grace of God, we're not talking about law here. This is grace. The grace of God teaches me that I ought to live right. That's grace. Grace teaches that. You ought to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's what grace teaches me. It teaches me that I need to grow, that I need to get away from some things that I was involved in when sin and the world and the devil had me in its clutches, amen? Had me in its grip. Let grace teach you. Let grace take you to another level. Let grace work in your heart and in your life and teach you what it is to live in grace. The grace of God teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust. Grace of God teaching you that? If you're saved, it is. You say, well, preacher, I'm not listening. Well, it's going to keep teaching it. The grace of God just keeps teaching and teaching and teaching and teaching. Amen. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came to take up His permanent residence in you, and He's going to keep speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. I'm glad it's that way. I don't always like it, but I sure am glad that God stays on my heels. Amen. I'm glad that God stays after me. I'm glad that God smites me in my heart. Brother David said it this morning. Listen, if you'll listen to the Spirit of God, He'll tell you what's right. He'll tell you what's wrong.
Amen.
He'll tell you where to go. He'll tell you what to do.
Yes,
amen. He'll tell you who to talk to and who not to talk to. He'll tell you who to hang with and who not to hang with. The Spirit of God will tell you how to live your life if you'll listen to Him. The Spirit of God wants to teach us. There's just some things in life that we have to deny. How many of you are saved have come to realize that? Raise your hand.
Amen.
Amen. If you're saved and you're listening to the Spirit of God will tell you there's just some things you're going to have to say no to that maybe you used to say yes to. Amen. Say, preacher, this is not too deep. That's okay. We don't need to get too deep. We need to get right. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Well, you know, now, preacher, the world seems to think it's okay. That's a pretty good sign that I don't need to be doing it. Seems like the folks in the world don't have a problem with it. That's a pretty good sign that I need to have a problem with it. Teaching us. What's the grace of God teaching you this morning, brethren? You're saved in the grace of God. Praise God for it. Shout amen. Give glory to God. But now the grace of God not only saves us, it not only reaches us, it teaches us. It not only saves our soul, it teaches us how to live. Amen. The grace of God not only gave me something to get me to heaven, it gives me something to live here on earth. Amen. Teaching that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. You say you know to some things? I'd say no to some things now. The devil's going to tempt. He's going to come. He's going to try to get you to do things. And you can say, nope, not going to do it. By the grace of God, not going to do it. God, help me. Help me. Look what else he said. Not only should we deny ungodliness and worldly lust, but we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is the way you ought to live as a Christian. If you're saved in the grace of God's teaching you to live this way. Right here. Soberly. Think about that. Did you notice what the author did here? He took the three phases of man and he addressed every one of them. Soberly, the mind and the soul. Soberly means to think straight. Soberly means to think serious. Take it serious. Soberly means to control your thoughts and your actions. It speaks of the inward. And then righteously, look at it. Righteously, we're to live soberly. You can't let your mind just think on anything. You can't let your mind just wander anywhere. You have to take control. Amen. You think it long enough, before long you'll be doing it. Hear me now. Long before an action becomes an action, it begins with an attitude. That's right. That's why it started with the mind. We ought to live soberly. Righteously. That word righteously just simply means right acts. That speaks of the outward. Soberly speaks of the inward. Righteously deals with the outward. Soberly deals with the mind and the soul. Righteously deals with the body. Do the right thing. That's what the grace of God will teach you and I. To do the right thing. Could you imagine what it would be if everyone that is saved in the grace of God would just do the right thing? Could you imagine the change that would come in our communities, in our churches, in our workplaces? If Christians would just let the grace of God teach and us do what the grace of God teaches. Do the right thing. Soberly. Your mind, your soul. Righteously. Your body. Now, look at the next one. And godly. And godly. That's the inward. That's the spirit of man. Jesus said we ought to walk even also as he walked. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Well, there was an old saying, and I'm not saying you ought to use it every time, but what would Jesus do? Just do what the Bible says do. Right? So I don't know what the Bible says do. Then get some good biblical counsel and find out. Find out what the Bible says about that matter. Don't just take a stab in the dark. And so here it is. He said in verse number 11, the grace of God, so important. Grace. Grace. God's grace. Amen. Thank God for his grace. Oh, to grace, the songwriter said, how great a debtor. Grace. Not only grace to save us from the penalty of sin, but grace to separate us from the power of sin. You can live a clean, righteous life. I didn't say perfect now, but you can live for God. If you're saved, you ought to. Amen. There's just some things that are right, and there's just some things that are wrong. And we just live in a society where people want to kind of do that, don't they? Everything's relative. It's only right if you think it's right. It's only wrong if you think it's wrong. No, it's right if God says it's right, and it's wrong if God says it's wrong. Amen. That's not going to change. That's not going to change. Now, let's bring this to a close. Well, one day when we get to heaven, preacher, we're going to live soberly and righteously and godly. Well, that's not what the Scripture said. We are going to. But he said, in this present world, You can live that way right now with God's help. I can live this way. Should be. We should be living this way right now as God's people. We should. I want you to look down. Not only does grace teach us that we can leave the sinful life or live a sanctified life, but it teaches us to love a servant's life. Notice, if you would, in verse number 14, this is just, it's really interesting to me, the word that the apostle uses. In verse number 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Now watch this next phrase, zealous of good works. I like that word, zealous. I hope you'll go home and kind of search it out a little bit. It means to the boiling point. It means to burn with fervor and passion. It means to be on fire for the God who saved you by His grace. Amen? You're just looking for something to do to exhibit the grace of God in your life. Not to pay Him back. We can never pay Him back. But just to show a lost world out there, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm a trophy of God's grace. Look what God's done in my life. Look how God changed my life. Amen. And what God has done in changing my life, God can do in changing your life. See, that's grace. Grace just wants to put it out there. Amen. Grace just wants to put it out there. Say, oh, preacher, I'm going to hide my light under a bushel. No. No. God said, get it out there. Be zealous. Be on fire. Let God start a fire in your bosom. Amen. Be zealous of good works. When you're living in verse number 12, you'll be performing in verse number 14. Amen. But if you're not in verse number 12, you're not going to be putting out verse number 14. You'll lose your zeal, you'll lose your fervor, you'll lose your fire. Sin will strip it from you. Disobedience will strip it from us. But when we begin to allow grace to teach us, we'll want to put it out there and say, oh, God, thank you so much. I can never thank you enough. I just want people to see your grace in my life. Well, I bring this now to our final thought. And I'm not going to comment much on it. I want you to look at verse number 13. Looking for. See, one day, the God who saved us is coming back for us. Amen? Amen. The first time Jesus came, He came to remove sin from me. But the second time He comes, He's coming to remove me from sin. Amen. I'm leaving this old lowland of sorrow. I'm pulling out of here one day. I just want you to know that. And if you're saved, you're pulling out too. Now you are. We may all go out together. That's right. I'm talking about the rapture of the church. I'm talking about God coming back for His own, sending Jesus to come and take us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. The first time Jesus came, He came to take me somewhere, to a place of victory. But the second time He comes, He's coming to take me from somewhere, from this. I love my life. I thank God on a regular basis. You can stand to your feet. I thank God I have a blessed hope. I love my life. I thank God for my family. I thank God for a church. I thank God for my salvation. I thank God. I've said it often. I don't just say it to you publicly. I say it in private in my prayer when I'm talking to the God of heaven. God, if you never done anything else for me, I just want to say thank you for what you've done. God, you changed my life. You gave me hope. You gave me something worth living for. And I just want to thank you for it, Lord. I just want to say thank you for giving me something worth living for. It's a wonderful thing to live for my Savior, Jesus. If you don't know Him, it's my prayer you would know Him today. Amen. Oh, listen, what a change has been wrought in my heart since Jesus came into my life. Amen. What a change. Something's missing in your life if Jesus doesn't live in your heart. I pray that you would accept Him today. I pray that you would. The only way you can do that is receive His grace. As a gift. It's a gift. Let's bow our heads together.